was born in East Tennessee, a small town called Dayton. Dayton, Tennessee, just north of Chattanooga. About the only thing town's ever known for was, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Scopes Evolutionary Trial. That was in my hometown, so I'm living proof that monkeys exist. And there wasn't much around in those days that, you know, to help people economically or health-wise or anything. It was still pretty much a depressed community. But we were basically sharecroppers. Went to work and, you know, during the harvest season or the planting season, we would be, you know, working in the fields. I was taken out into the field to work. And this was, you know, basically, I was 3 years old when they took me out there. My older sisters would kind of watch us during the day and then they'd take turns about going out and working. As long as I can remember, up until I went to Chicago, we were pooling our money together and that's how we would eat. We were considered to be trash, you know, we were considered to be, you know, the lower caste. And we were treated that way in school. We were treated that way, you know, in public. My oldest brother and he went to Chicago. And when I got old enough to go, to leave, I left, dropped out of high school in the ninth grade. And I mean, I never really went there anyway because I always had to work. I went to Chicago. It was no different. It was terrible. I went to a place called Uptown Chicago on the north side of Chicago. And there were over 40,000 people from the South at that time. And so this particular community was nothing more than a slum, a ghetto, heavy police brutality, murders. And they're living in these, you know, just a slum buildings. I remember children being bitten by rats. And there were a lot of disease. And there were no services for people at all. The Uptown community had an unemployment rate of 47%. My brother was one of the co-leaders of a gang up there called the Peacemakers. He had gotten away from the gang and started hanging out somewhat with some Student for Democratic Society organizers that came into the community. They came into the community to try to get jobs and set up Jobs or Income Now union, which they found out very quickly that jobs are only part of the problem. The other brutality, the slum living conditions, the health, you know, needs, welfare. Some of them that were more radical started hanging out with people and eventually got the community to do a march on the local police station for brutality and murder because several of the peacemakers, people in the community had been, you know, just shot down by the cops. You know, and I wish I could say that this is not true, but it's all true. We were from the South, you know. We were raised in a racist environment. It was in us. But there were a small group of us who said, yeah, but we're anti-racist. We don't like what's going on. Because everything in the Black community or the brown community, the poor community is happening here. So why can't we do something about it in our community? We started as a group of young people. I was 17 when I started. Just organizing the community, getting together, going to meetings. And, you know, we didn't have a childhood. We didn't have an idea of what childhood was. We had to grow up very fast. We had to grow up very fast in the, you know, in the South, and we had to grow up very fast on the street. So I'm not glorifying any of this. It was just our life where we were put at in history. So we decided we would, well, we'd stand up and fight and do what we could. As a youth group, we took over a lot of the city's meetings and had to do with our community and urban renewal, which was, we just termed as poor people's removal, because Mayor Daley's tactic to change a community, and he wanted to get rid of all the poor people, was to put an institution in those communities. In Uptown, he wanted to put in a community college. And that community college would displace the majority of the Southern people where they lived. And so we got together with other organizations, and it wasn't only the Patriots, but we pushed it was what was called the People's Village. And we developed an alternative where this college was going to go. It eventually was called the Hank Williams Village, because Hank Williams was a very famous country idol. It would be modeled after a southern town, and it would be governed by the people that lived there. And it was called the greatest housing plan that never was, because the city that shut us out. At one point, and how we got involved with the Rainbow Coalition, you know, Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers and the Young Lords, we always liked what the Panthers were doing. And actually, we were modeling a lot of our stuff after the Panthers, but we didn't really know any of them. We went to a meeting in which we were trying to raise money for funds for, you know, to help out the community. But, you know, we didn't know that the Panthers were going to be there. And the Panthers didn't know we were going to be there. And so there was a representative named Bobby Lee. He got up and he said, you know, they're trying to do the same in their community as we're doing here. So this was the beginning of the relationship between the Panthers and the Young Patriots. Bobby Lee, he came to Uptown and lived in Uptown for a couple of weeks and saw what we were doing and went back to Fred Hampton and told them about it. He said, you know, there's these crazy, crazy hillbillies up on the north side of Chicago talking anti-racism and revolution and wearing this damn Confederate flag. Hampton said, you know, he's real reluctant. He said, but yet, you know, this is what we need for the revolution. Started at that point organizing together, and then the Young Lords, which was Hispanic gang term political, had become a part, we'd all become a part of the Rainbow Coalition. So the original Rainbow Coalition was the Panthers, the Young Lords, and the Young Patriots. You know, we were working together very effectively. We were able to reach a lot of the Southern people who come from rural areas, farmers, and also coal miners. And this is very important for people who's going to organize in any of these areas to understand the culture of what they're doing. So we developed classes in community organizing, for instance. We also had history and culture of the Southern white migrant, history and culture of the Native American, history and culture of the Hispanic American, history and culture of the Black Power movement. Fred Hampton gets a lot of credit for it, in which he should, for the development of the Rainbow Coalition. But he never wanted to be the leader. And the Rainbow Coalition was designed where it wouldn't have a leader because it would be a collective. And that's the way the Rainbow Coalition operated. And that's one of the areas that concerned Mayor Daley and J. Edgar Hoover. They wanted someone that they could pinpoint as the leader. And so they did identify, of course, you know, Fred Hampton as the leader. And we knew how that ended up because Fred Hampton was murdered 52 years ago this week. Well, you know, back in the day when we were organizing, we didn't have the cell phone. We didn't have the social media. And there weren't thousands of opinions out there on how to do something. And what we need to do is to find commonalities that people have. The social media thing is a thing that's really hurting us these days and helping us. If you can come up with a system of, okay, this is what we believe, this is who we are, do you believe this? People have to serve first, I think. They kind of have to serve the people. Even though, you know, the Panthers and the Young Lords and Young Patriots were leaders in the community, we were servers first. You know, don't get me wrong. I like Black Lives Matter a lot. I mean, I do. I work with Black Lives Matter. But you have to have a certain mindset when you're talking to, let's say, for instance, if you're trying to convert a Trump supporter, you may not get very far if you talk about Black Lives Matter. But if you talk about something like the Rainbow Coalition, where everybody is involved and everybody is included, then you stand a better chance of working with people. If you put a group together, then make sure it's represented everybody, that it's not just a group of you know, white people out there telling other people what to do all the time, you know, and it's not just a group of black people, because a lot of the white people are going to be racist and they're going to, you know, not pay much attention to it. I don't think we can do anything without thinking about commonalities. I am optimistic and I see a lot of good things happening, which is one of the reasons we put together the second Rainbow Coalition. There's still a few of us around that haven't given up. We still try. We don't always succeed, but, you know, we damn sure try. And so Grant Hampton says that you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution. And so we still believe in the revolution. We still believe that change could come in to this country and to this world. We have to try to be that change and get people to be the change, to be self-determined in their community.